St. Peter Canisius. He's a great saint, a great doctor of the church. He's a man who was on fire with the love of God. From his youth, he desired nothing but to follow Christ in every way possible that he could. And so fired with zeal was he, that he made a profound impact upon the church, which is why we refer to him as a doctor of the church during this time. He was one of the first Jesuits to be recognized for his learning. All the Jesuits to this day are known for their learning. What were the Jesuits founded in particular for? They were founded to combat heresy. That was the mission that was given to them by the Holy Father when he allowed them to come into existence and sent them on mission. But what heresy were they founded primarily to destroy? They were founded to destroy the heresy of Protestantism and all those heresies of that modern time. St. Peter Canisius, in fact, he was so recognized for his learning that he actually assisted at those sessions of the Council of Trent and contributed greatly to it. You and I know about the Baltimore Catechism. That was the catechism which the U.S. bishops came together to instruct these poor Americans who knew nothing about the faith. And so the Baltimore Catechism was put together. It has its various sections, just like our modern catechism does, going through the creed point by point by point, and then speaking about the sacraments, all these various parts. Well, St. Peter Canisius also has a catechism which he wrote during the time. It's a very good catechism. Instead of having these complicated parts, he just had two parts to his catechism. Very simple. His catechism was, what is the church? What should I believe? And what should I do? That's it. Very simple. Here's what I should believe, and here's what I should do about it. Action must follow our belief. This is the way of the church. This has always been the way of the church, that our actions have to follow what it is that we say we believe, that we have to actually not just have the right belief, have the right thoughts within our hearts, have the right attitude toward God, but it must affect not just the world, but the way in which I go about in the world. What happens if I have the perfect faith? I believe everything that the Catholic Church teaches in the most profound way, but I do the opposite. What will my eternity be like? It'll be the same fiery end if I do my life really, really well, but refuse to believe the truths which have been divinely revealed by God through His Church, and saying, I will believe something different, even if I act in a fairly moral way. Both belief and faith have to go together, and so it is with our own lives. We see this here within our beautiful readings right here. St. Paul talks to Blessed Timothy and urging this young bishop, what? That he must preach the gospel, as it says, instant, and when it's not well received. To be in season and out of season. To preach it strongly within a world that, whether the world likes what the church has to say about particular things, and especially when the world does not like it. That's the more difficult part. Have to be willing to stand for it, because it is the Lord Christ in which we serve within our eyes. He says, again, there will be a time that will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. They will be a people who will have itching ears, where they want to hear things that make them feel good, things that confirm them in the direction that they're going, and they will hate anything which challenges them. Does it sound like a time that you've experienced in your life, maybe? Sound like maybe now? Sound like maybe in this terrible time when the most uncatechized group of people that the world has ever seen are the ones being asked how the church should go forward? What's that a recipe for? Disastro. Sound doctrine is what saves. Sound doctrine is what the Lord has called us to do. And even now, St. Paul says, have to be ready to go forward. St. Paul, speaking of himself, bragging as he is, telling this young man, Timothy, as he's getting ready to be a bishop here in a way where he's not going to be well received, and he's just a young guy. He's younger even than Father Burnaby is, very young. And there he goes, and he says, look, I'm about to die. But what can I say about myself? I fought the good fight. I've run the race. I will finish this course. And I have kept the faith, despite the fact that everything terrible has happened to him, persecutions, trials, a sword, many nights upon the seas, been in danger from all sorts of peoples, as he speaks about in his own personal testament in the letter to the Galatians. It's exactly what our Lord is trying to draw you and I toward here, to say you are the salt of the earth. Each of you are. You're here at Mass today, on a day when you don't have to be at Mass. Don't know if you didn't know that. You're here because you want to be. You're serving Mass because you love our Lord Jesus so greatly. And so because of this, because of these realities, you are the salt of the earth. And so if the salt begins to lose its savor, what is it good for? To be trodden underfoot by men? Nothing. So stay salty. Have the seasoning that draws out that goodness that does still exist within the world, which is torn in so many different directions. Stay salty. Draw out that goodness. You've received the salt from Christ. Each of you who were baptized should have, or did indeed, receive salt which was tossed into your mouth, as we did baptize that young lady before Mass yesterday. And receiving that salt, which is emblematic of wisdom, allows you and I to be able to go forward and be who God has called us to be. Don't be those who hide your faith under some sort of shadow or make excuses or explain away the difficult teachings of the faith, but be a light, a candlestick, as the Lord speaks about here in the Gospel, Matthew chapter 5, that is put upon a lampstand that shines and gives light to the whole of the world, to all those who are in the room. Yes, so that darkness may be exposed for what it is, and the horrendous things, but also so that having been known what it is, they can reach toward the light, rather than stumbling around in darkness, but to be, as our Lord says, the light of Christ shining forth into the darkness, which scatters everything before it, which is not consonant with he who is light itself. St. Peter Canisius did this the whole of his life, and that's why he is such a great saint of the church. But how should we go about preaching the truth? This is what I wrote for you in Spanish here. This is a quotation from the saint himself. He's speaking to the Pope and writing back and saying, look, we have these terrible Protestant heresies that are all over the place. How are we to combat them? How are we to be effective in speaking the truth? It's important for you and I to know how to effectively speak the truth. It does you and I no good if we go around with a club and beat people over the heads. We're not here to bash brains. We're here to destroy the works of the evil one, the nefarious one, Satan. What does he say? He had a little exhortation which is consistent with what we read about in the letter of St. Timothy today, and I'd like to give it to you about the restoring the faith among the German people who he was sent. There's always been problems in Germany. Continues to this day. But he's speaking about how he was effective in staving off the heresies in the German lands in which he was. He says this, writing back to the Pope and to those who would also wish to see the true faith proclaimed in a way. He says, certainly there are an infinite number of them. He's referring to the Protestants. There's an infinite number of them that adhere to new sects and errant religious beliefs, that they mount up beliefs to themselves and change from day to day. They do so in such a way that proves that their error is preceded from ignorance rather than from malice. They err in this respect, but without contention, without willfulness, without obstinacy. And even those who are conscientiously defiant and unorthodox against the faith, they should not be met with a bad temper of asperity or with discourtesy. For this is nothing else than the reverse of Christ's example. Inasmuch it is to say, to break with what he said, to break the bruised reed, or to quench the smoldering wick. When you and I go forward with the faith, we're to go so with a gentleness. Remember, what do we pray to the Sacred Heart of Jesus over and over again? What do we say? We say, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. Meekness means I know I have lots of power, but I'm not going to use it to destroy. I'm going to use as little of it as possible in order to correct. So the soul actually finds the love of Christ. You and I are to seek to do the same thing. To never attribute to malice what can be attributed to incompetence or attributed to ignorance. And most of the time, Protestants are very ignorant about what the true belief is because they've been cut off in the magisterium. And so you and I are to exhort them to true belief in the most soft and loving way as possible and refuse even as they strike us to strike back. It was through this very method, and as well through a holy way of life, a life truly living out the faith, not just holding the right beliefs, but really living it out in true charity and love. And St. Peter Canisius was very effective within his faith. And so he wrote that catechism. Here's what you're to believe, but even more, here's how you're to act living out that belief. You and I would do well to be inspired by the work of St. Peter Canisius. And so during this Mass, to ask our Lord, to ask Our Lady, who is our mother, and to ask St. Peter Canisius, to guide you and I as we are to be true testigos, true witnesses for the faith that we have in Christ by letting our actions back up our beliefs in the most mild and meek manner possible. We can indeed preserve souls for Christ, not just in this life, but unto eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.